हरिः ॐ सहनववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 24. Vasudeva received initiation along with his wives, who wore silk saris and were adorned with bangles, necklaces, ankle bells, and earrings. With his body wrapped in a deerskin, Vasudeva shone splendidly. By dear Maharaj Parikit, Vasudeva's priests and the officiating members of the assembly, dressed in silk dhotis and jeweled ornaments, looked so effulgent that they seemed to be standing in the sacrificial arena of Indra, the killer of Vritta. At that time, Balaram and Krishna, the lords of all living entities, shone forth with great majesty in the company of their respective sons, wives, and other family members, who were expansions of their opulences. Performing various kinds of Vedic sacrifice according to the proper regulations, Vasudeva worshipped the Lord of all sacrificial paraphernalia, mantras, and rituals. He executed both primary and secondary sacrifices, offering oblations to the sacred fire and carrying out other aspects of sacrificial worship. Then, at the appropriate time and according to scripture, Vasudeva remunerated the priests by decorating them with precious ornaments, though they were already richly adorned, and offering them valuable gifts of cows, land, and marriageable girls. After supervising the Patni Samgaya and Avarbhitya rituals, the great Brahmana sages bathed in Lord Parasaram's lake with the sponsor of the sacrifice, Vasudeva, who led them. His sacred bath complete, Vasudeva joined with his wives in giving the jewelry and clothes they had been wearing to the professional reciters. Vasudeva then put on new garments, after which he honored all classes of people by feeding everyone, even the dogs. With opulent gifts, he honored his relatives, including all their wives and children. The royalty of the Vidarbha, Koshala, Kuru, Kashi, Kekaya, and Srinjaya kingdoms, the officiating members of the assembly, and also the priests witnessing demigods, humans, spirits, forefathers, and charanas, right? So everybody's taken care of when you do these things. That's the idea, is that charitable mood is then expanded. So it's not just exactly who's there, but it means just how you need, but everything connected. Does that make sense? Yeah.
It was said here that Vasudeva received initiation.
Received initiate into that sacrifice. That means then they're doing some kind of Shrauta Yajna. So then that means then there'll be some variety of ritual that then he's bound to follow that
for the sacrifice.
Yeah, for the sacrifice.
What are primary, secondary sacrifices mentioned?
Well, it means that there's main yajnas, and then there'll be all these secondary yajnas. You know, like Udicca karma aspects, which are purifying for anything that goes wrong. You're closing the day's sacrifice. You're doing the main yajna, but you'll start it and close it every day. So there's opening and closing are secondary rituals. But the main sacrifice, let's say it's going on for 3 days. So the main sacrifice is going on 3 days, but each day you're opening and closing the fire. So opening and closing are secondary, because it's not the main thing, which is the main ritual. Does that make sense? Then, so it's not that, oh, they already have something, we don't give them, you know, or... And here you see as they go in, they take the Avabrita Snan, after taking the Avavrita Snan, then what they're wearing at that time, that's given to all the singers and everybody who's attending in that, at that time. Not you wait till the end. No, they're given right at that time. The priests, they finish this, you give something to them for the, being the priests. Right? Then after that, then they the bath and that, they're giving to who's there for that. Then, when they're decorated nicely, now the ritual's over, now they take care of all the great special guests and kings and family members and all these kinds of things like this. And then those sages that may be there, they're taking part, now they're dealt with just as sages or Brahmins. Or, right? So it means, it's not that, oh, they got for the sacrifice and then these guys are getting for just being there. Mm-hmm. Then what's the special about being in the sacrifice? Does that make sense? In other words, I have a sacrifice. And let's say 100 people come. And I give remuneration to the priest. And I also, give something, some gifts to those 100 people. But I don't give what I gave to those 100 people or in that consideration to the priest because saying, well, they already got. No, they're there. So they get what everybody else. And then they did the sacrifice. Then they get that. Does that make sense? Because otherwise we look, okay, I gave him a dhoti before we started. I don't have to give him one at the end as a charity because I already gave him because he said he needed a dhoti, but that it'll be destroyed in the sacrifice. That doesn't matter. I already gave. You know, what he does with it, that's his. You know what I'm saying? So these are miserly considerations. So.
What is the significance of giving those clothes and ornaments which they are wearing? They could have given others also. And they...
Why not that? That was for the sacrifice. So the sacrifice, if it's for sacrifice, then naturally giving away whatever you're wearing then matches that move. Right? And also ensures that, because if you gave something else, what would you give?
That we haven't stored yet.
Yeah, you know that 300 rupee cotton sari, right? Right? So that's the whole thing. They're going to get some good stuff. Why? Because they're going to the sacrifice. Are they going to dress nicely or not? Yes. And so because they dress nicely, that's the quality of stuff these people will get. Otherwise, they wouldn't. You'd get some cheap stuff. Yeah, so you can see is that it's designed to avoid the miserly mentality, which when giving charity, many times rich people have. They're very calculated. You know, it's one thing if you have to plan because you only have a certain amount of facility. Yes, that's there. But it shouldn't be calculating while you're going through. Does that make sense? It means you're seeing the position of people and who deserves more, who would get, you know, all these kind of balances that are there. Those are cultural. But you're not thinking how I can get out of this, you know, how I can get away for less.
This aspect of neshkarma is what purifies them for the desire of
Yeah. Yeah, because otherwise then you want to wear fancy stuff to look good, then you know, you give it away. You know? Or you're wearing because you're supposed to, then what's the problem in giving it away? So in any case it doesn't matter. For the person who is detached, it's not a problem. And for the person who is attached, it makes them detached.
In Kolkata, boy was telling that the Marwadis generally, when they give kaju, kismis of high quality to the priest. So, similarly, they get returns like that. The other people, they give only 8 takas. Yep. 10 rupee, 1 rupee, like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So, they have only that much only.
Yeah. No, sure, that's how it works. Then, taking permission from Lord Krishna, the shelter of the goddess of fortune, the various guests departed as they all chanted the glories of Vasudeva's sacrifice. The Yadavs were all embraced by their friends, close family members, and other relatives, including Dhritarashtra and his younger brother, Vidura, Prita, and her sons, Bhishma, Drona, the twins, Nakula and Sahadev, Narada, Vedavyas, the personality of Godhead. Their hearts melting with affection, these and other guests left for their kingdoms. The progress slowed by the pain of separation. Footnote 9. Friends, relatives, and others embraced the Yadavas. Pained by the separation, they departed. Others, Duryodhana, etc., however, were indifferent. Mm-hmm. Nandamara showed his affection for his relatives, the Yadu, by remaining with them a little longer, together with his cowherds. During his stay, Krishna, Balaram, Ugrasena, and others honored him with especially opulent worship. Srila Jiva Goswami explains, when all others had departed by the Lord's arrangement, Krishna then stayed for a long time in Kurukshetra with the people of Braja without any feeling of restriction. Right? So if all these other kings leave, then it can be, it's just family now. So it's the you know, it'd be these closer Yadavas and then the Brajvasis. And so, because they're all related and have that, then you can relax and be, you don't have to be as formal as when the extended, you know, dynasty and all these other kings and allies and enemies and all that are there. The word too distinguishes Nanda from all the others at Kurukshetra. Therefore, Nanda is worshipped with valuable articles of worship and remained there. Instead of Brihatya, sometimes Mahata is seen. Nanda stayed because he had great affection for friends like Vasudev, but even more affection for Krishna and Balaram. He was worshipped by Krishna, Balarama, Ugrasena, and others like Vasudev. Vasudev is not separately mentioned because he had worshipped Nanda as part of the sacrifice previously. Okay, so it was already included there. So then here, Sukadev Goswami continued. Having so easily crossed over the vast ocean of his ambition, Vasudev felt fully satisfied. In the company of his many well-wishers, he took Nanda by the hand and addressed him as follows. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, after the death of Kamsa, Vasudev had the desire that he, along with Krishna and Balaram, should meet the people of Braja somewhere and have a huge festival with all friends, sages, and kings. He was now pleased to have crossed over very easily that great ocean, something hard to arrange. How do you put all that together? On another day, surrounded by friends with all his brothers and elders, he went to Nanda's residence. Sitting on a seat, facing Nanda and taking his hand in affection, he spoke to him. He had come to pacify Nanda at the upcoming suffering at the time of separation from Krishna. Sri Vasudev said, my dear brother, God himself has tied the knot called affection, which tightly binds human beings together. It seems to me that even great heroes and mystics find it very difficult to free themselves from it. Indeed, the Supreme Lord must have created the bonds of affection, for such exalted saints as you have never stopped showing matchless friendship towards us ingrates, although it has never been properly reciprocated. So he's saying is that why would it be there unless Krishna arranged it? Mm-hmm. Right? Because otherwise, what would be the reason that it's still there? That's his, you know, presentation. Srila Jiva Goswami explains, the Lord has created this bondage. Why? Vasudev explains this by giving an example. You have never stopped showing us and others related to us causeless friendship, though we live far away and have committed offense to you. Or, the Lord has made mutual affection, like tying two cows together. You are bound to me by that affection, though I do not maintain the relationship. So his main point is bringing out here is that the Lord has created this bond, right? Either in generic, that's just how he binds everybody together through affection. Because how is the material world functioning? Right? What's the ingredient that only because it's there, it's able to interact and all that?
Attachment,
right? Because when he glanced at the pradhan and it separated into the elements, you couldn't do anything with it until attachment was added. And so because everything's held together by attachment, therefore naturally anyone involved in it, there's attachment. So it's the Lord that then ties that knot. But the principle is that we are supposed to see it in connection to the Lord. So that's the actual point, because what you're tied to is the Lord, but we mistake it for the body, for the country, for the house, for our wealth, like that. And so he's saying, even here, we're bound together, that's why we're friends, but at the same time, I as a friend am not actually taking part very nicely. So, you know, that's... Thank you. That is most astonishing because I see lack of mutual relationship in that association. Then he speaks this verse. To us who cannot show friendship with affection, you who are correct in conduct, do not stop at any time the incomparable apra ti kalpa, friendship offered with affection, without expectation, just for friendship, even though you could stop it. Right? Therefore, he is the one that's respected the most in this assembly. Right? Because even though that his friendship is not being reciprocated on a regular basis, he still maintains it. Sri Vasudev continued, previously, dear brother, we did nothing to benefit you because we were unable to. Yet even now that you are present before us, our eyes are so blinded by the intoxication of material good fortune that we continue to ignore you. O most respectful one, may a person who wants the highest benefit in life never gain kingly opulence, for it leaves him blind to the needs of his own family and friends. Right? Because if you remember in Manu, then it mentions that the certain amount of, like, a can't remember what's it called, but you know, it's like, let's say the money that, like, the father gives the son, he's not done anything, but it's something he gives him an allowance, right? Does that make sense? So even the king, there's allowance for the queens, for his, you know, the princes and everything like that. So that way they have a certain amount of facilities. So it's written into Manu. Otherwise, he might not give them anything. Right? Or he may take care beyond. That way they can't ask for more because that's how much is the proper amount. Because they don't have a kingdom to take care of, so they don't need all the facilities of the kingdom. The king has all the facilities to take care of the kingdom. The son wants to use the facilities just for fun. So that's why the son has a certain amount. He can use that for fun. Does that make sense? But at the same time, is, you know, he should be cultivating the mood of the king. Otherwise, why be a prince? Yes.
It's interesting. Srila Prabhupada made the same thing for his own family.
Yeah. Yeah. Because otherwise, then, you know, people don't take care, or they demand too much. So that's why it's a regular, it's a fixed thing. So we see here is that So he's saying that having too much opulence tends to blind you. So that's why then for those that deal with opulence, there's these things. Those who make money, the Vaishyas, they give in charity. The kings have so much opulence. They give in charity. They take care of the citizens. All these things are put in place. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it. So, Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, his heart softened by feelings of intimate sympathy, Vasudev wept, his eyes brimming with tears as he remembered the friendship Nanda had shown him. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments. 2 indicates Nanda's different intention. Vasudev's intention was different from Nanda's. Breaking your misconception that Krishna is your son, I will now take my son and go to Braja. So that's Nanda's. I'll break this misconception. He's our son. So I'll take. So in other words, we're all here. And Vasudev's thinking, now when they part, he'll go with Krishna and go to Dwarka. And Nanda Baba's saying, no, I'll break this misconception. He's our son. We'll take him and go to Braj. You go back to Dwarka. You know, I mean, you could have been in Mathura, but you guys moved to Dwarka. So, hey, you know, so we're still in Vrindavan. Yes. Because this was a very grave statement, he never said this and remained silent. By doing so, he, who was affectionate to his friend Vasudev, could be unaffectionate to Vasudev. Every night he would think, I will stay here today and depart with my son to Vraja tomorrow. But because of the exchange of prema between himself and Krishna and Balaram, he stayed 3 months. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, and on his part, Nanda was also full of affection for his friend Vasudev. Thus, during the following days, Nanda would repeatedly announce, I will be leaving later today, And I will be leaving tomorrow. So in other words, in the morning I'll be leaving later today, and then the evening I'll be leaving tomorrow. But out of love for Krishna Balaram, he remained there for 3 more months, honored by all the yadus. So this went on every day for 3 months. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments. Then after 3 months, Nanda said, "O Krishna, there's one drop of facial perspiration is worshipped by millions of living entities. Immediately go to Braja. I cannot spend any more time here." Because it doesn't have the proper mood, means for expressing that full love. Means the Dwarkavasis, they can stay there forever. It's not a problem because the mood is Dwarka. So it doesn't affect their... It means if they're in Dwarka, then more facilities there, they can do more worship of Krishna. And so in that way, it'll be comfortable. But also there, it goes on. The mood doesn't change. Facility may be less, but it's there. But for the Brajbasis, facilities less and the mood's different. So at some point, they need to go. Oh, friend Vasudev, please send Krishna to Braja. Oh, King Ugrasena, you give the order to Vasudev, my dear friend. If you do not do so, we will just now die before your eyes in the holy land of Kurukshetra. We did not come on the occasion of the eclipse to attain pious credits, but all of us in Braja were convinced in our hearts that if we did not see Krishna, we would die. And if we saw Krishna, we would live. Saying this, being satisfied by millions of ornaments and all desirable things, he departed. Then Vasudev, being knowledgeable of time, place, and person, was advised by friends, spoke to satisfy Nanda. Then Vasudev, being knowledgeable of time, place, and person, was advised by friends, spoke to satisfy Nanda. O friend, King of Braja, you speak truthfully. How can I approve of any malice towards friends like you? Therefore, by all means, I will send Krishna to Braja. But now let him take all of us with relatives, friends, and women to Dwarka. Then, on another day, at an auspicious moment, let him go to Braja with no obstructions. I swear to this more than 1,000 times. We have come to Krishna. Without him, how can we return home? Oh, we have come with Krishna. What will people say? You are learned in all matters. Please permit this. Please tell me my offense in requesting this to you. Ugrasena said. So that was Vasudev. Okay. Ugrasena said, O King of Braja, I have been the... I have been the surety of this. I swear to it. Even by force, I will send Krishna to Braja. So Vasudev said it, and then Ugrasena saying, you know, I'll be the witness and I'll make sure it happens. You know, so he's the surety. Right? In a private place, Krishna said along... Oh. In a private place, Krishna said along... with Uddhava and Balaram. Okay. Oh, Father, if I give them up today and go to Braja, they will be close to death out of separation from me. Thousands of enemies stronger than Keshi or Arista will kill these kings. Being omniscient, I know my own future. Please listen while I speak. Returning to Dwarka, I will then take advice and go to the Rajasuya sacrifice of Yudhishthira. There I will kill Shishupal, and returning to Dwarka, I will kill Shalva. To kill Dantavakra, I will then go near the south gate of Mathura. Killing him, I will enter Braja to see you. Oh, okay. So this all happened before.
Yes.
So it's not in order. It's just going, it's just as they come up. Joyfully associate with you and spend this life performing various playful pastimes. That has been written on my forehead by the Creator. It is written on your forehead that you will suffer in separation from me until that time that I return. It is not possible to prevent these two fated situations from happening. Therefore, give up your stubbornness and return to Braja. During that time, my parents and my dear friends, you will be pained thinking that you must suffer in separation as fated. But whenever you want to see me, feed me, or play with me, you should just close your eyes. I will appear. Making all your difficulties insignificant, I will fulfill all your desires. This I promise. My friends afflicted with heart from the forest fire will testify. Right? So his friends from the forest fire, then they'll testify that Krishna, they closed their eyes all and remembered Krishna, and all problems went away. So he's saying that, you know, it worked for them. So you can ask them. They'll tell you it works. Nanda considered what was best for his son's happiness. Then said to Vasudeva and all others, I agree. Saddened by relatives aroused to incessant tears, taking all gifts given by them, he departed with troops, Yapitaha, provided by the Yadavas. So they sent troops to take them back. Yeah. Like that. So they didn't just go on their own, but they sent troops along. This explanation has been given based on the two words, Kamai, Puryamanaha. His desires all being satisfied. These words would make no sense unless there were such an explanation of Nanda being completely satisfied. Right, so this is why we listen to the Acharyas. They take two words and make it into a full-page purport. For Nanda and Yashoda could not believe at all that Krishna was the son of Vasudeva and Devaki, even if testified by Brahma or his sons and daughters. For all material wealth and ornaments were considered trifling in comparison to just the remembrance of the treasure of happiness attained by touching the back of their finger to Krishna's chin. How could it be possible to satisfy them with millions of silks and valuable furnishings given by Vasudeva? So they took them, you know, but it's still there in lamentation. It's not that, wow, look at all the stuff we got. You know, it's no. Krishna is the most valuable thing, so without Krishna, then what's the point? They have all this nice stuff, then, you know, they'll go back to Vrindavan. But being satisfied by this arrangement, how it's being made, Krishna spoke that this is how it's supposed to work out, that Krishna will come at this time. And so then now it'll happen. For argument's sake, even if they were satisfied or could be satisfied, the text also mentions that not only Nanda and his wife, but all the inhabitants of Braja, all the gopis, gopas and gopis, and all his friends were satisfied. If one were to explain that Krishna's mother and father and also all his dear gopis and all his coward friends were satisfied simply by getting valuable ornaments, cloth and jewels and departed to Braja, then the prema of all the inhabitants of Braja must have disappeared. For, from the statement in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is understood that the characteristic of prema is extremely positive, is extreme possessiveness. Therefore, such an explanation should be rejected. Questions from Pakiva. See, that they fit in right there. You're saying, no, not the topic. Here it is.
I have a question. Somebody asked.
Someone asked?
Krishna, he travels from Bharata to Mathura to kill Shalvakas previously. I mean, chronologically.
No, Dantavakra.
Yeah. And then he goes to Vrindavan for 2 months.
Right.
And then how the whole Braj Lila ends. So where is the pastime of Radha bringing Krishna to Vrindavan from Kurukshetra coming? And why not, why Sukadeva Goswami didn't mention that? There are Kriyata pastime.
Why does he need to mention it? There's unlimited pastime. So if something gets left out, that's... You have 7 days. And you tell unlimited pastime. See, the Purana itself actually has 1 billion verses. That's the Purana. Then to make it so we can appreciate it, those verses then are reduced down to 400,000. Means the essential 400,000 of 1 billion. And then that's divided into 18 different books, the different Puranas, so that people can appreciate and actually, you know what I'm saying? We'll read, reading Bhagavatam, 12 cantos, it takes a while. Could you imagine if it was all 18 is one book? You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing. The amount is there, and then it's only that much. So you have to limit. It's only 18,000 verses. That's how many you can speak in 7 days. What does he want? It's more than normal, because would we sit there 24/7 without eating or sleeping? And that way, 18,000 verses get in. You know, so if they had done it like how we do, then it would have been the great Srimad Bhagavatam, all 493 verses. You know, right? You know, so that's the thing. So they shouldn't worry that there's a fault there. Why it has to be a fault? That's why it's revealed somewhere else. If it's important, it'll be revealed. The only reason he knows is because it's been revealed. If it wasn't revealed, how would he even know? So be happy. You got it some way. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. Then, after Vasudeva, Ugrasena, Krishna, Uddhava, Balaram, and others had fulfilled his desires and presented him with precious ornaments, fine linen, and varieties of priceless household furnishings, Nanda Maharaj accepted all these gifts and took his leave. So the point was, it's not because of the gifts he was satisfied. It was because of the interaction with Krishna and Vasudeva, and the promises all being made. Krishna said he would come. Vasudeva said he would send. Ugrasena Maharaj said that he would, stand as a surety that it would happen. So in this way, then, he's satisfied. Seen off by all the Yadus, he departed with his family members and the residents of Braja, unable to withdraw their minds from Lord Govinda's lotus feet, where they had surrendered them. Nanda and the coward men and women returned to Mathura. Their relatives, having thus departed, and seeing that the rainy season was approaching, the Vrishnis, whose only lord was Krishna, went back to Dwarka. They told the people of the city about the festive sacrifices performed by Vasudeva, lord of the Yadus, and about everything else that had happened during their pilgrimage, especially how they had met with their loved ones. Srila Jiva Goswami concludes, I surrender to Krishna who, after giving up Braja, because of duties, stayed a long time in Dwarka, who, disturbed, first sent Uddhava and Balaram to console them directly, and who, coming in person to Kurukshetra, met them and out of mercy, then quickly returned to Braja. Conclusion. By worshipping all the elements and the predominating deities, one can gradually become free of the influence of envy. But all the sins of an envious person can be nullified immediately simply by serving a great soul. Right? So all pious activities, any benefits you can get, that it will take long, long time to develop simply by serving a great personality, that can be accomplished immediately. So that's the specialness. So we should see is that the devotees of the Lord, that's the most valuable thing that there is. Other things are not so valuable. Position, facility, influence, wealth, all these things aren't really as valuable as the association of Vaishnavas. Because the other one, all these other things will go away, you'll move on, the soul will move to another situation and have nothing to do with the previous one, and no connection. So how much value was it? But the association of the great saintly persons, by that association, then we get the eternal benefit of being connected with Krishna, and that situation is eternal. So that's the real valuable. The other things are only seemingly valuable. We can say, yes, we can engage them in Krishna's service, that's what it says right here. But it's not that they have a value other than their ability to be engaged in Krishna's service. So,
can we say because that time earlier they were all worshipping the sages and the brahmanas, that is why there is so much opulence.
Previously they were all, yes, means anything. You follow Krishna's laws, then naturally he'd be satisfied to get more. Even if you're materialistic, but you're following the laws, it's just like, let's say, you want something done from the government. You go out, fill all the papers, deal nicely with everybody, visit everybody, do all the things that everybody expects. Will there be a problem in you getting what you want? No. What if I don't want to follow it? The government, they should give it to me. Why do I have to work for it? It's my right. Why do they're obliged to give? How well will that go? not so good. And even if you make a big stink and go to the papers and make a whole journalistic presentation, you'll get something, but it won't come out nice. You understand? So, whole idea is that because you follow Krishna's laws, you approach the government, in that way you get your results. That's why the Vedic system, even if they're not devotees, then materially it's doing very well. But it still doesn't mean the soul is satisfied, because the soul can't be satisfied by material arrangements. It's only then when it's connected to Krishna, then the soul gets satisfied. So these aspects are done because you have to have a culture and situation to function in. So therefore there's no better situation than the Vedic one. But then within that, the only purpose of that is pure devotional service. Other things aren't, the Vedic culture without Krishna isn't actually important. It's important because that's what they do in the spiritual world. Right? That makes sense. So that's why. Yes.
Vasudeva and Ugrasena are promising that they will send Krishna after some time. So did it happen later on? This thing?
Krishna went, so it was arranged, and Krishna himself said. So. Yeah. But it was explained before, in a previous chapter.
It seems that the spirit of Vasudev and the spirit of Maharaj Yudhisthira for the Rajasuya is the same. This means pure devotion is the main thing.
Yes.
And they do sacrifice, they give in charity. But the main thing is to develop love for Krishna.
Yes, you're always trying to please Krishna and all that. See, the idea is that through these, then you can remember Krishna, see Krishna, interact with Krishna, offer things to Krishna, take care of the Krishna's devotees. Because we have to remember, the whole process is personal. It's not actually a mechanical process. Mechanics are engaged in the service of the personal.
Yes.
But not that it's persons who are doing the mechanics.
Yes. Yes.
It's mechanics assist people.
Yes.
So that's the difference. We have to switch and get used to that. Because by the present day, as soon as you take it away from... You take it away from this approach about the personal, that immediately goes into impersonal.
Yes.
Because then the abstract, the mechanical, is taken as the main, and as people, like let's say I have a business, so then, and that takes so many people, but people are only instruments in the business. So people are just reduced down to those who carry out the abstract. And that produces money, which then for me is the concrete.
Yes.
My experience, that means my feeling of having money. You know, spending money or controlling money or investing money, but something with money that I have, that's what's concrete for me. So that means the business and all the people in the business are all abstract. So the Vedic system, because it's so much on people and dealing with people, is trying to keep the concrete to people, not the abstract. You know what I'm saying? Not to the mechanics. Because the modern, it makes the mechanics the concrete. Right? We don't realize that it's the opposite. It is the opposite. If you explain it, people will agree. But in reality, everybody goes for the abstract and says, that's the concrete. And what they call, oh, theory, you know, oh, that's theory. In the Vedic, that's called concrete. Because that's what makes it work. That's why you do things.
Experience.
If you don't want to make money, because making money is the theory, but if you don't want to make money, why would there be business? So we're saying, no, the business is the real thing, and the desire to make money, that's the abstract. No, the desire to make money is the concrete, and then the business, that's abstract. Because it's impersonal. In other words, abstract is impersonal, and personal is personal, and concrete is personal. So that's the real thing, is that one's trying to reverse that view. That's why then so much time is taken on the personal. We could say, oh, but so much time is wasted, they could be more efficient. They're doing quite well. You know, kings of the world, all the opulence that they had. One king's opulence might not be there on this planet today. You know, before, one king could have that. So it's just, they're doing all right. So they focus on the personal, that's what makes it go nicely. And our idea is to know, focus more and more on the efficient aspect, and that will make it go better. It's just getting worse and worse. sir.
The difficulty seems to be in investment to the personal is that it might take even generations before we get the results. Or we sometimes we don't see the results at all. It's just the future.
Right, right.
So this doubt many devotees have. They want, as you mentioned, concrete, which is not concrete as such, but it's tangible. They can actually have it.
They can have it, but do they actually get what they... When they say it's what you can get after generations by being personal, do they actually have that now?
No.
No, so that's the whole point, is it doesn't work, because it's abstract. So, the point is, you're not going to get any more than you're supposed to anyway, so might as well be personal in the dealings, because by being impersonal, you won't get more. You'll just miss out on all those personal dealings. You know, that's the thing. It's said you'll get more, but where is it? And why is it every 6 months there's a new book out on how to get more? You know what I'm saying? You don't have to write another book. There's one Arthashastra. It's still good. You know, in the Far East, they have Sun Tzu. It still works. Or Japan, Mushashi. It still works. You don't need another book. You just need to understand how to apply it, because it's you have the generic rules. They work everywhere. If that didn't work, Anuman wouldn't work. You know what I'm saying? It's because I can say, you know, all dogs do this, because dogs do a certain thing. Therefore, this is doing that activity. Therefore, it's a dog. Like, let's say I see one of those, what is it? That Chinese, what did we say it was? The chow chow dogs. They just look like folds of fat. You know, just, you know, like that. You'd expect them to look like that when they're small and cute. You know, they're cuddly, you know, like that. But they look just as cute and cuddly, and they're monstrous, right? But so now I see that, and what is that animal? But to seeing how it behaves, then I can go, okay, it's acting like this. Dogs act like this, therefore it's a dog. That's how science works. So that principle is there. So now that we simply take those generic aspects and try to say that that's the concrete, because why do you need to know if it's a dog? That's what's actually concrete. So the point is that this mistaking of what's real and what's unreal, then that's where the problem comes up. So you won't, it doesn't, they don't get any more material benefit. In fact, they get whatever facility they would have gotten anyway, but it's less pleasant because it's not as personal. Because the personal is what, let's say if I have facilities and I'm comfortable with that, generally you're comfortable to sit down with friends and family and enjoy yourself, relax, right? And if you don't have anything, you tend to work hard. So that means is that the ultimate still is the personal. Now, if I'm not going to get any more than I'm getting now, so then I can sit back and relax. Because by putting in extra effort, I won't get more. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's all. It's just like, okay, you have breakfast, then you have lunch, then you have dinner. Right? So now, if at breakfast, then you think, I want to get more, and eat more at breakfast. Now, are you able to eat the regular amount or more at lunch? No, you might not even be able to eat lunch. So the point is you'll only get that amount. It's just a matter of, so it looks like I'm getting more now, but then what happens later? You know, I get all the money, and then I end up in jail for, you know, 20 years. So did that balance out? Wouldn't it have been better to have less and just had it go through nicely for 30 years and get it all and enjoy it in 10 years and then 20 years in jail? Does that make sense? So that's the point is that they have to look at the actual reality. This idea may take generations, but, you know, what's wrong with taking generations? Does that make sense? You know, Moses wasn't upset about it, so. And they still write about him, so are they going to write about this guy? Sankhya?
Mentioned here that the characteristic of prema is extreme possessiveness.
Extreme?
Possessiveness.
Possessiveness, yeah.
So how can we understand that the devotees of Vrindavan are having this possessiveness but selfless, whereas in material world the possessiveness indicates selfish attitude in any relationship?
It's because everything here is the opposite. No? Why would there be a problem? Possessiveness, what does possessiveness do? The parents have that, do they have a sense of possessiveness about the child?
Yes.
So what do they do? They do anything, or they just go, yeah, my child. What are they doing? Yeah, so they're doing something. Now, the next door neighbor's child, do they have a sense of possessiveness? No. Are they doing anything for that child? No. So what's the problem with possessiveness and selflessness? Why the two? Now, of the mother and father, which is traditionally known to, or at least obviously showing more possessiveness, the father and mother? Mother. And of the two, which is known to be the most selfless? Mother. So is there it works here. Why wouldn't it work there?
Here it still said it's about the youth because it's based upon body. But there, it's based on body. That's why it's...
Is it based on body? It's based on attraction. But what are you attracted to? You're attracted to Krishna, but you take it that it's the body. That's where the mistake is. That's where the illusion. The childness is Krishna. Does that make sense? Not something else. And so they're attracted to the childness. But they think it's the body of the child. The only reason that it's manifest is because there's a soul there. And therefore then they're acting in that, and the universal form then provides all the moves, the body, everything like that. So then everybody has a great time. But it's actually Krishna. So it's just a matter of where you want to look. Because if they have no material desire and there's possessiveness, then what's the problem? The problem is here, is it looks the same, but underlying there is that self-centeredness. If it wasn't about them, they wouldn't have that sense of possessiveness. You're only possessive to something that's important to you. You know what I'm saying? But the nature is, Krishna is important to everybody, so that's the one point that is there. Anything else? No? Okay, so we finished the year. Like that. I mean, we could go on and read the Pratigya from the next one, but I don't know. So then we thank everybody. You know, it seems to be the schedule is, you know, what we're doing works nicely. Like that. The, how do you say? We've all come to the position where the questions work in the proper way and answers then stick, you know, in other words, the answers and the questions are sticking more to the point, so it goes more smoothly. We see it went very nicely. When we adjusted to that, we'd get through much more material, but at the same time, it wasn't that we were going through quicker. It had the same quality because it wasn't distracted by, you know, overemphasis on secondary aspects that weren't actually important for the discussion. So it worked nicely. Right? So that was good. The Vedanta Sutra, then, by bringing in the Bhagavatam and the purports, then, because Bhagavatam was there, we just didn't use the purports, but then bringing in the purports, then it made it more accessible. So that improved. Like that. So we see the schedule is working nicely. And that. Because last year, I think we ran evening class during this time. And it was, means if it had been in Finland, it would have been all right. Because you could step out now and again into the snow. But since it wasn't, you know, how to have a sauna without the water, you know, like that. Without the sauna. It's just natural. Okay. Yeah, so good. Right? So I'd like to thank everybody for participating in all that. And then we'll start after Vishwaroop Mahotsav next year. So I think Vishwaroop's on a Wednesday. So that's the first, huh?
26th Wednesday.
Okay, and 26th, that's Vishwaroop. So then should be, well, confirm it, but should be 26th is when we're starting. And then we'll start again, full schedule, morning and evening. And that will run through until Gaur Purnima, until Nityananda Trayodasi, which at that point then we'll go down to the morning class again, just. Then after the festival, we'll go back to the double classes until the Akshay Tritiya. Because at Akshay Tritiya, that's when it gets hot. So from then, we'll just do a morning class again. Okay. So,
thank you, Maharaj, for having the patience with all our questions year after year, and still you so graciously teach us, despite that we only get things after the 8 year a little bit.
Yeah. But it's not bad. I only walked out once in 8 years. So. Twice. I walked out once before. What year was that?
Sorry.
Third year. Okay.
It was Manu.
It was Manu. Oh, okay. Someone's harassing on Manu. Okay. So not bad.
Not bad.
I hope. But. And Vedanta Sutra. Yeah, we just continue where we were here. We'll finish this, then we'll go into 11th Canto 12th. So next year is 11th and 12th Canto. And so it was expected that it might be a little bit goes over, just like in last year we did, I think, a few first 10 chapters or something.
Yes.
We did 10 chapters, expecting that is there. Then we did here, and it was expected it might be a few, you know, possibly 10 chapters left over, but it's only 5. You know, actually 6, because 90s also. So you know, it basically is going, that's going according to schedule. Vedanta Sutra is a little slower, simply because the concept of it is so different than what we're using. It's completely reversing how we're thinking, and it's just taken a while to get used to it. But now by putting the Bhagavatam in, we found that's the key to make it work, so it's not just we've been doing it for a while, but it's by adding the Bhagavatam. So in the future, then we'll just, write back for the future classes that it's all developed like that in the first place. So then the students should be able to catch it quicker and go through quicker. But I would expect from now it should go much quicker like that, especially if we keep it to, you know, questions are on point, then it should go. Because here we go through 2, 3, 4 pages like that, or even 5 pages of Vedanta Sutra, when before we go through, you know, one sentence, one paragraph, half a page, and if we're really lucky, we might get through a full page. So we can see is that if it was working like this, then we would actually get through it much quicker. So I'm hoping next year we finish the Vedanta Sutra, then we'll start on the Satsandarbhas.
We start from
Tattva. Yes, because now, before we brought it in, thinking that it's too technical, we didn't have the technical understanding at that time. So now by going through, it'll be easier and we'll gain more. So now we know is that logic doesn't work without Kaman. Right? And then the point is that the Tattva Sutra is establishing the authority of the Purana, of the Bhagavatam. So it's all about Kaman. And then from there, then you can do everything else. So it works very nice. Yeah? Good? Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaur Purnima.
Jai.